All right, well, give a nice round of applause and welcome up Pastor Joey Roberts.
Thank you so much. Awesome. Yes, we are very, very excited. God is good, amen? All the time and all the time, God is good, amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, we're expecting October 12th. Amen. And that's very exciting. Why don't you stand up and do you want to come say something? You sure? Can I just say a quick hello? No, you don't want to? All right, that's enough, Kirsten. It's just because she's a better preacher than I am, and I'm still dealing with this pride thing. So anyway, praise the Lord. So glad to be here. Amen. Hallelujah. I love this church. You know, the bar is set so high, Tim, with you guys in the band. And I know it's not just you up there. Man, everything from the singers to the drums. Where's the drummer at? Oh, man. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about you. I tell people everywhere about you. I try and send films home because we're checking out drummers right now at a church we're also checking out. Man, this place just gets so filled with the presence of God. And that's really what you want in a church. You want a place that, from start to finish, sets the bar so high that that it's like we're doing our best to honor Jesus, right? Because if church is about any other thing, then it's not the church of Jesus Christ. And there's many productions out there, and I run risks like this. I take risks in the pulpit these days by saying risky things. But last night I encouraged 20-something graduating students to take risks. I don't want to end the end of my life or Jesus coming soon. I don't want to say, man, I should have taken more risks in the human age, in the man age. And so I know I run risks, but the church that is honoring Jesus is supposed to do everything we can, not just in the church, but outside the church, to really honor the Lord, to honor his integrity before people. That if his word says it, he means it. And that if we're preaching this gospel, that we mean it. I think it was John Lake that said, any man who's not fit to prove the gospel should not preach the gospel. It's a stout gospel. It's a stout gospel. It's not a weak gospel. It's not a friendly gospel. It's jam-packed full of joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. But it's a stout gospel. It's a gospel that claims to heal bodies, save the lost, resurrect the dead. Think about the claims just in the gospels alone, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pre-Jesus dying on the cross. It's crazy talk. Crazy. Absolutely absurd. That's why good news literally means too good to be true news. It's beyond what I can comprehend. Without the mind of Christ, with my own human brain, I can't comprehend it. Everything that we preach and everything that we represent with our praise, with our worship, with his word, with our words, with his word in our mouth, with our demonstrations, it's just too good to be true with human wisdom. It requires faith. As good as you are at explaining this Bible, eventually the argument will come down to one thing. Do you have faith? That's it. It's always going to come back to the one thing that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it's not possible to please him. For he that comes to God or approaches God, and we know in John 1:1, God and his word are the same. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. We know that God never changes because his word never changes. I get to know God by his word, right? So you put all that together, we're talking about an unchanging force that requires faith. If I'm going to please God, faith has to be attached. If I'm going to understand God, or his principles, or his statutes, or how the kingdom works, it's going to take faith. Can't do it without it. Can't do it with mental assent. Can't do it just through science or experiments or ideas that man came up with. You know, Adam in the garden fell from the supreme place of revelation, literally living by the bread of life, living by the word of God, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's in Deuteronomy. That's also in Matthew, right? That's how Jesus, when he was tempted of Satan, he said, hey, why don't you, you're hungry, right? It's been 40 days. You hadn't eaten anything. You've been fasting, praying in the desert. Hey, see those stones over there? I bet you being the Son of God, you know who you are. You could probably just command those stones to be made bread and just have a little meal right there. And Jesus quickly turns his attention to the one thing that brings faith. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said, man, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word is the thing that brings faith. Three times he was tempted, right there in Matthew. And three times Jesus demonstrated forever how to deal with the devil, how to deal with disease, how to deal with any evil thing in this earth realm. Turn your attention to faith in God's word. Faith in God's word. You could try to approach it a different way and it would always fall short, because faith is the only thing that pleases him. You can always get to the throne of God. You can always get your prayers answered. Always, always. Every prayer. Every. He said, as touching anything, it shall be done unto them. As touching anything. There's nothing in the New Testament that says about not getting a prayer answered. Not getting an expected result. Faith. Faith. Faith is the key. And now we'll begin. I want to wrap this as we get going with a little tune. There's been a lot of pressure. You know, riding with me is like a roller coaster. I accept that. But you know, if you don't have a spoonful of sugar, the medicine won't go down. Mary Poppins taught us that. And she's from Great Britain, so they must have something. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to start by saying you are a spirit. You're nothing else. You're a spirit. It'd do you well to confess that maybe 100 times a day until it sinks in of what you really are. Otherwise, you'd walk through the world trying to act like a human being, and that's not what you are according to the scripture. God said in Genesis, let us make man in our image. Well, what is God? God's a spirit. So if you're made in God's image, you are a spirit. Yes, you have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions, and you live in this physical body, but what you are and who you are is a spirit. If you don't connect the dots on that, none of this will ever really make sense, and you really won't get very far, and anything you get is literally on mercy, not by grace. You're not designed to live on mercy. Mercy brought you to the cross. Mercy gave you a cross to come to, but you're not designed to stay at the place on God's mercy. You live by faith through grace. New Testament. You now live by faith through grace, and grace is a man named Jesus Christ. He is the literal grace of God for you. You did not deserve it. You could never do anything to deserve it. Yet you can receive it by faith. And everything God has provided has to be received by the only substance that pleases him, faith. For without it, nothing pleases him. Jesus defined what sin really is. It's whatever lacks faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. Even in our speech 5 years ago, I was in a meeting, and I heard on the inside of my spirit, pay attention to what they're saying. Pay attention to their lingo. Listen for something. And I said, Lord, what are we listening for? He said, faith. Can you find it? Can you find it? And I listened to the preaching and the teaching all day. Couldn't find but bits and fragments, and I really had to search for it. Had to search for it. Faith has a sound. Faith can be visualized. Faith has a countenance. Faith has a smell. Faith has a sense. You get around faith, you know it. It's different. It oozes with joy. It oozes with the fruits of the Spirit. And it dares to perform the gifts of the Spirit. Faith looks different, like everything, different than anything else in this world. It stands out. It stands out in a world that's fallen and already doomed. It stands out like a shining light. That's why a man full of faith or a woman full of faith stands out among the crowd, not even trying. They can't help it. It's what I'm full of. I'm full of faith. I'm full of faith. You can be full of fire. You can be full of passion. You can be full of compassion. But God has designed you as a cylinder to be full of faith. Faith in what? His word. Every word. The Bible says in multiple places in the New Testament that this is the way we're supposed to live. The just shall live by faith. Now you can exist without it. See, the kind of life he's talking about there is in John 10:10. Remember, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. But I've come that they might have life, and not only life, but life abundantly. The thriving life, the God kind of life, the Zoe life. Life, like light pouring out of your pores. When you sing, light comes out of you in the spirit realm. Tim, when you sing, it says, unto the Lord, light comes out of you. If you could see it, it would be like light shooting out of your mouth and out of your pores. It's the glory of God coming out of you. Why? Because he lives in you. It'd take faith to believe that. It'd take faith to believe that. It'd take faith to believe that every prayer I pray according to his word goes directly from my mouth to his throne. And he hears me and he answers my prayer. Why? Because I pray according to his word. Not according to my feelings, not according to my circumstance. You know, circumstance comes and goes, but the word of God stays the same. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Turn to your neighbor, say, you are a spirit. Turn to somebody else, say, you are a spirit. Genesis 1:26, I quoted it, let us make man in our image. God is a spirit. We are made like him. We are a spirit. You are a spirit. You are not a body. You are a spirit. You possess a body. You are a spirit. We take control and authority over our body. Why? Because I'm a spirit that possesses a body. The biggest lie Satan tries to tell people that I can find out, the biggest lie I can see that hinders people, is he tries to tell people, getting them to think naturally like a physical body. To act like a human being yielded to human nature, feeding on human things, living a natural life. The idea of living a naturally good life. Well, that's as high as the ceiling of education will give you. See, Adam in the garden fell from the place of revelation. And because of sin, that is the cornerstone. That is the pivotal point of mankind today outside of Jesus. How educated one could be. How smart you could get. How much knowledge and information you could consume. But then you could have an 8-year-old with supernatural revelation. A God rhema word that literally changes existence. Because education is not what you were designed to live by. Revelation as a spirit. A revelatory word. That's why I tell people all the time. They say, what's the key to success? Praying in other tongues. Praying in the spirit. Always. All day. All day long. All the time. Praying in tongues. Sometimes I wake up and I can hear my spirit praying in tongues. He never sleeps. I never sleep. My body sleeps. I let my body rest. I never sleep. There's no sleeping in heaven. Ever. You won't require it. You as a spirit are eternal. You're an eternal being. As an eternal being, you feed yourself on eternal food. The Word of God. The Word of God. It's spirit food. Do you know faith is substance? It's spiritual substance. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is substance of things hoped for. It's evidence of things not seen. Faith is spiritual substance. It can be dealt with. It's like currency. It can be spent. It can be used for things. Are you still here? John 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Jesus said, the words I speak to you are good. They're nice. These are good sentiments. These are good things to think about. Ponder these. No, he said, the words I speak are spirit and they are life. The Word of God is spirit, not just spiritual. A lot of things in the world are spiritual. Go down to Ocean Beach. You'll find a lot of spiritual things floating around. If you hang out there long enough, you can pick up on some of them and take them home with you if you want. You can go into a little store and take spiritual things home with you. You know, there's a lot of things in the earth that are spiritual. In fact, everything that we see in the natural is because of something in the spiritual. The countenance on your face tells what's going on in your spirit. Right? You feed on spiritual food, you can tell who is not eaten in a while. You ever been to India? Yeah? You can tell a lot of those people aren't getting three meals a day. Why? You can see it on their face. You can see it in their body. How much more spiritually, as a spirit, can you tell when you've been feeding on the words of God, the bread of life, the manna? Feeding your spirit. This is spiritual food. We have to set a spiritual diet to stay spiritually healthy. Otherwise, because of the pressure that's in the world system, you'd begin to think naturally. And so you'd have natural thoughts and natural remedies and natural ideas. And you'd literally become earthly good, but not spiritually good. Is this too strong? Deuteronomy 8:3. So he humbled you, talking to the children of Israel, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna. With manna that you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Man, being a spirit, can only survive and thrive on food meant for a spirit. You don't feed a rabbit dog food. You don't give your plants, your house plants, rabbit food. Everything has the food that's designed for the thing or the being. You are spirit. There's specific food that if you don't eat it, you'll die spiritually. That's the first thing God told Adam. He said, if you don't live by my word, Adam, everything in the garden is yours but this one tree. He even told him why. He's giving him the word. The word can be walked on. Peter never walked on the water. Hear me. He walked on a word that Jesus gave him. Lord, if it be you, give me a word. Bid me to come. What was Peter walking on? The word that Jesus said, come. Man can't walk on water. Try it. You can't. Nobody's ever walked on water. But many have walked on the word. The writer there in the Gospels wrote what he saw. It appeared that he was walking on water, but you can't walk on water. It's not designed to walk on. But you can walk on the word. They saw Jesus in their visual. It looked like he was walking in the water, but you can't walk on water. But you can walk on the word. You can walk on the word. You can't live by bread alone, but you can live on the word. You can live on the word. If any message preached doesn't, number one, point you directly to Jesus, and number two, point you to his word, it's a lie and it's false and it's man-made and it's phony and it won't help. Every word that is preached, that's why I love this church, every word that is preached from this pulpit is designed to deliver you faith so that you can live, so you can be healthy, so you can be prosperous. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then you can do all that is written on the inside of this thing. And then you'll make your way prosperous. And then you'll have good success. When will I have it? When I make this book of the law continually come out of my mouth. Let it not depart. If I said, hey, don't let this podium here, this shall not depart from thy sanctuary. What am I saying? Keep it here. Keep it here. When he said in Joshua 1:8, don't let this book of the law depart from out of your mouth, keep it in there. Keep it in there. My wife can tell you, sometimes I'll get something, be driving down the road, I get something that I'm meditating on. And I'm pressing for by faith. Last couple of days, I was pressing for this sermon. I was thinking, it does me no good to deliver a word that I come up with. It's nonsense. Man's wisdom is nonsense. It doesn't have any power. But a word from God by the Holy Spirit can break every chain. I don't depend on response ever. I never depend on people liking me. Why? You can't help me. And I can't help you. I can only give you what God tells me to give you. And you can only give me what God tells me to give me. Tells you to give me. If we live according to the word, I can only say and do those things that I see my Father do. And anything else will be burnt up on an altar of fire as wood, hay, and rubble. But if I live by the word, and I get connected as a spirit by his word with his spirit, then all of a sudden, my steps become ordered of him. I say what he tells me to say. I'm at the right place at the right time. I'm always collecting my harvest. No matter what other people are doing, no matter what other people are saying, I'm directed by the Spirit. I show up here because the Spirit's leading me. That sounds far out, man. That sounds far out. What that says is one thing. We're thinking too naturally. Your spiritual concepts are whoo. You're missing the whole thing. You are a spirit. Spirituality, when it's handed over to unsaved men and women to explain, it's squirrely, to say the very least. Can you see that we're right before the coming of the Lord and things have gotten more and more squirrely? And if the enemy had his way, the church would become more and more squirrely. Here's the problem. In the 80s, the concern was that we were getting too spiritual, and that was squirrely. But take account today, globally as a church, how less spiritual we become when we are a spirit. If you looked at it from God's point of view, to act any other way than spiritual would be silly. It'd be being something that I'm not. Are you still here? Man being made in the image of God himself could only live on God's food, made by God himself. You know, God's the cook here. He's coming up with the recipes for our life. He's coming up with the recipes for our life. He's the great chef. He's got food prepared for you every day. Every day. You know, letting my Bible, you know, don't let this offend you. This is just paper. The message behind it and the spirit behind it is what makes it work. But if I just kind of let it fall open every day, that's a start. If I don't know any better, all right. We just throw the books up in the air and it falls down and I pick it up and I begin to read. Well, that's a start. But you know, you grow in the Lord and you grow in the Spirit. He starts directing you. And he'll say, hey, you know, this week, let's get in Ephesians. And let's read Ephesians every day. Let's read the whole thing. And so you start reading Ephesians. I remember when it happened to me. Started reading Ephesians. The Lord directed me, let's read it every day, twice a day. Read it in the morning. Get up an extra half hour early. Read the whole thing in the morning. And then before you go to bed at night. And then you know, once you start, this is good. Once you start feeding on something that you're not accustomed to, you grow an appetite for it. So I remember when I went to India the first time, I didn't have an appetite for Indian food, especially southern Indian food. It's terrible. I hadn't thought I should get an appetite for Indian food. I should go to an Indian restaurant. I had never had Indian food until I landed in India. Not real smart. I was 21, full of fire, but not enough wisdom. Well, I went to India after the first few days searching for American food. Why? Because I had an appetite for American food. Now, if I had taken the whole month before I went to India and started feeding myself Indian food, somewhere along the way, my taste would change. Where things are forced, stuff happens. Now, we live in an age that even the word force, force me to what? Force me to what? I got rights. Force me to what? What are you going to force me to do? Well, if I was going to help you, I'd force you to read your Bible. I'd sit you in a room with a Bible and say, read it, read it. I don't know if I want to read that. Read it. It's going to help you. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Why? For they are life unto you, that those that find them, they are health for you. The same people who complain, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. It's life and health. Let me help you. Read your Bible. Confess the word. I'm only trying to give you life. I'm only trying to give you success. I'm only trying to give you wealth. But I don't know if I get an appetite. Nobody should show up in a foreign thing without an appetite. People show up in a foreign place called Christianity. And nobody's teaching them to change their appetite. And we're living in a time that it's too slow of a process. It's too slow. Can't you see that the devil is trying to steal every scrap of faith out of the church? And we try and make it so easy and so understandable and acceptable that anyone can come in and we're stripping the faith away. He's stripping the life away. You're stripping the God factor away. This gospel is for everyone. But faith is the answer. And if we break out of this thing, whatever this is, it's almost indescribable. It's demonic is what it is. The thing that tries to steal. Here's a question. What is it? Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He mentioned stealing first, so it was first on his mind. Nothing in the New Testament is by accident, even the order that it's written in. What is it that he's trying to steal? Look over at Mark 4. Look at Mark 4. I like going on a time. It makes it a challenge. I should do this more often. It's like a game. Can I get to the next thing before the time is up? I need to give myself prizes. So it'll make it a real game. Like, I'm going to give myself $100 if I get everything done that the Holy Ghost wants me to do inside the time. I'm on to something, Kirsten. Our lives are about to change. What is it he's trying to steal? You ever thought he's stealing? The devil's stealing my health. The devil's stealing my job. The devil's stealing my joy. The devil's stealing my stuff. The devil's been stealing my sleep. The devil's been stealing my whatever. What's he really after? I mean, you don't have to guess. That's the great thing about having a book. It's open book test all the time. It's like people walk around guessing what he's really after. I wonder what he's been after. Man, he was after my marriage the first 3 or 4 times, I'll tell you that. You ever heard that testimony? 5th time's a charm. Well, you don't have to guess. It's right here. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. Some of you are guessing at that. It says it right there. You don't even have to guess. It says the sower sows the word. It's right there. It's like in red letter even. That's the good stuff. It's even bold and red. It means Jesus said it. The author and finisher of faith is saying this. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard. Heard what? The word. Now here's the big clincher. When they've heard the what? The word. Satan comes when? Immediately. To take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Why? Because it's the word that produces the faith that pleases God and gets stuff done. So here's the clincher. Here's the, let me use a modern day church term because they're all changing. Here's the takeaway. See how I did that? Here's the takeaway. In case you don't understand what the word revelation means, here's the takeaway. Here's the package. If he can keep you from the word, your faith level will never grow. Faith level never grows. You really can't get anything done. You can't really get your prayers answered. And some people, they like the gospel that's designed to kill them and keep them broke and sick. And they like it because it's the appetite they've been accustomed to now for a while. Maybe they got born again in a church that is not stout. That really doesn't care about people. Now think about what I'm saying. Put your stones down for a moment. If I cared about people, I'd give them the truth. I wouldn't just carouse them like cattle. Feed them something that they like. Make them feel really good. Ultimately ensuring that they give to the thing that I'm building. And all the while having the care to make sure their experience is good enough to come back to feed the machine that I'm growing that I call church. It's a lie and it's demonic. If I love you, I tell you the truth that not only saves your soul, but you can live on. You can walk on. You were designed to walk by faith. You were designed to live by faith. You're designed to grow the faith. Romans 12:3 says he's dealt to every man the measure, not a measure, of faith. You were designed to experience a life and a lifestyle that is completely surrounded by faith alone. A life that only believes God can defend me. You can't help me. I love you. You can't help me. I love you. You can't help me, so I won't try and manipulate you ever. I won't try and bend the rules and make you comfortable. No, I'll only say those things that I hear my Father say. I'll only do those things that I see my Father do. Why? Because I'm living by faith. And I'm setting a standard. As for me and my house, we really will serve the Lord. Serving the Lord means having a standard that is equivalent to His Word, His Bible. Look at that. See, you thought my time was done, but I set it for 5 minutes early. I got you. Here's the thing. In closing, and I have many closings. Faith. Faith is where it's at. How do I feed my faith? Romans. Look over at Romans. I already quoted it. But Romans 10. We know what faith is. It's spirit substance. Without it, I can't please God. It's the thing that I'm living on. The Word of God is what brings the faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by how? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe, no matter, contrary to any popular belief, we're living in a time right now that the church has to make an all-time mantra, if you will, of faith again before we go out. That the Word of God has to be the most important part of our day. Confessing God's Word. Saying God's Word so that I can believe God's Word. I was in our church just a few weeks ago. I'm sitting there and I'm worshiping the Lord, and a correction came my way from the Lord. And I'm just worshiping, I'm smiling, I'm having such a good time, I'm enjoying the music like this morning. And the Lord on the inside says, "You're not thinking big enough." And I heard it over and over again. "You're not thinking big enough." And he went through in a millisecond all the things I'd been thinking and even praying about. Things like more musicians, more money, more things. And God took every prayer I had given in a month and he squashed it to, "You're not thinking big enough." Faith doesn't pray prayers about things he's already provided. Now, you'd have to get to know the Word just a little bit to know what's been provided. Health, wealth, and prosperity. Anything that was crushed under the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13 says you've been redeemed from. Curse of the law is poverty, sickness, and death. Faith doesn't pray about those things. Grace set the table for all of those things. Jesus set the table. Faith now sits down, doesn't negotiate, doesn't talk about, it starts eating. Grace set the table. Faith eats what's at the table. Grace set the table. Faith eats what's at the table. Grace sets the table. Faith takes what is at the table. It's all at the table. Faith takes what's been provided. And I started off and I'll finish. You're a spirit. No matter what you see, no matter what your body says, no matter what society is doing, never forget, you're a spirit. And if you'll keep eating spiritual food, you'll get spiritual revelation. You'll have the eyes of God. You'll have the ears of God. And you'll have the mind of Christ. And when everyone else is saying one thing, you'll sit back and go, "Nope, that's exactly the opposite. It's not like that at all." You forget you're a spirit. This is who you are. You're healthy, wealthy, wise, blessed, prosperous. The greater one's in you, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're set high above, far above. You're seated in heavenly places with him. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, any name that is named in this world and that which is to come. You're seated with him in heavenly places. You're healthy. You're prosperous. You're on the right track. Everything's working out for you. Why? Because you're a spirit that is twain with the Spirit of God. Now, if you remind yourself of these things every day, this time in 30 days, everything will look different. You'll see differently, hear differently, feel differently, ultimately be different. Will you stand with me? This is a stout word this morning. Sometimes I like it until I get out of the pulpit. But I get to do it again in the second service. If you got time, I'd love to encourage you to stick around. There's no way this will come out the same way the second time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Father, I pray for each and every person here under the sound of my voice. Lord, there may be people here making tremendous decisions for life, for ministry, for family. Lord, I thank you that you give them wisdom, give them the mind of Christ. Lord, may they see exactly what you want them to see. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Maybe some of these things are foreign to you, but you'd like to today. By the uplifted hand, you'd say, "That's me, preacher. I don't know Jesus. I need help. I need the Word of God. I want to be part of the family of God." Anybody here like that today? I won't embarrass you. I won't make you come down front. But by the uplifted hand, you'd say, "That's me. I'm not saved. I need Jesus." Anybody here today need Jesus? Hallelujah. I see that hand. Why don't we do this right now? Let's all pray this prayer to make everyone feel comfortable. Say, "Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead. Jesus, I submit my life to you. Make me born again. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to say thank you. And I want to congratulate you on making Jesus your Lord. I love you all. I look forward to being with you again. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.